Welcome to Human Capital Management, where IT meets HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand, here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guests are Jeff Mayo, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Force Management Integration, and Bill Marion, the Air Force's Deputy Chief Information Officer. Jeff, Bill, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you.
Glad to be here.
Let me just start at the beginning. I think the reason we reached out to you guys for this conversation is the work you guys are doing around cybersecurity, cyber workforce hiring, really. Let me open it up to both of you. This has been a major priority for the Air Force Secretary, for the Air Force at large. Talk a little bit about that effort around cyber workforce. And just let me know if Bill or Jeff, which one of you wants to jump in first.
Hi, this is Jeff Mayo. I think I'd start by saying we're certainly interested in the cyber community within the Air Force, but certainly in terms of civilians. We have around 9,000 billets for cyber civilians, and it's certainly a competitive endeavor for us to get out and reach that talent. We're looking at a number of different ways to attract those individuals to the Air Force. We've had an ongoing effort in our acquisition hiring that's been very successful for us, and we're building a similar program for the cyber workforce. Overall, we expect over the next year to hire about 1,400 cyber civilians, roughly 2,000 acquisition folks, engineers and program managers and contracting folks. So these are high priorities for us, and we're working very hard to come up with ways to bring them on board.
And let me back up, because one of the things you said, you have about 9,000 billets for civilians who work in the cyber world, and you plan to hire about 2,000 of those this year. And then how many do you already have those billets filled, or were those open billets you're talking about?
The 9,000 billets, 1,400 of them are open, and the remainder of those are filled. And those billets are mostly in the continental United States.
Okay, interesting. And then the other 2,000 you mentioned were for the acquisition side of the house, right?
Right. Engineers, program managers, contracting, and those type positions.
Let me turn to Bill here as the CIO, as Deputy CIO of the Air Force, who will work closely with these cyber workers. This must be exciting that you're going to get this influx of new talent.
Yes, absolutely. The cybersecurity business is growing, as you well know. On the mission system side, we're trying to build deeper and stronger knowledge bases across the board, getting more engineers, computer science, and cybersecurity expertise into our weapon systems, along with our traditional infrastructure capabilities. So it really required us to look differently about how we recruited. So where we went, we'll talk about some of the competitions, such as National Cyber Collegiate Defense, and then also how do we incentivize to be competitive with the outside marketplace. So we really had to take a couple new looks at how we go after recruiting, so we could make sure we could bring those skill sets into our mission areas as we need them.
And one of the things that, Jeff, you said was you had almost an approach that worked in the acquisition world that you're moving over to, or at least you're going to try out in the cyber world. Talk about that approach.
We work to reach out to where the talent is. We've got a cell down at our personnel center in San Antonio that reaches out to engineers, program managers, contractors. Our primary mechanism for reaching civilians is USA Jobs, but what we try to do is reach out to them and help make those connections with that. Some of that on the acquisition side is through job fairs, other hiring events where we will send our recruiters out to meet with individuals. We've had good success with that across the country in hiring in those areas. So we're working to pattern our cyber hiring effort along those lines. We're able to use certain expedited hiring authorities and direct hire authorities in the acquisition business, and a smaller set of those are eligible in the cyber workforce as well. So that helps us work through that process to get that talent on board more quickly. But I think the key is we're sending people out to where the talent resides, whether it's colleges, universities, other communities where there's a technical base that they can reach out to be able to help connect those individuals with the opportunities that we have in the Air Force.
Now, Bill, from your perspective, you hear what Jeff's saying. It must make you, again, go back to the feel-good side, that this influx of talent. How are you working with the manpower side of the house to ensure they're going to the right place? What kind of advice do you give them in terms of, hey, it's not just Silicon Valley, but there's these tech hubs, as you mentioned, in Austin or San Antonio or Boston or Denver or wherever?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a couple of centers of gravity, the Air Force Digital Services effort, the IUX effort that's going on with respect to larger DOD and the DOD Digital Services, as well as a lot of our ROTC detachments and other locations that have centers of gravity at Scott Air Force Base, Wright Air Force Base, and the like. So we're definitely merging those two angles together, which is efforts like DIUX and Air Force Digital Services, along with our ROTC pieces to really, you know, hone in and use also some of the big data tools to look at where the talent really lies. So part of this isn't just using the traditional, as Jeff had mentioned, USA Jobs, but actually use tools to go out and find where these centers of gravity are. The National Cyber Collegiate Defense has some very strong college and universities that are competing well in those spaces, so that also is another indicator of where that talent ought to come from. So it's really using a couple of the different dimensions, going to where the talent is, honing in using big data tools, and also some of our experiences with what we've seen on the military recruiting all combined that they really bring that together.
Bill, let me go a little step further with those big data tools. Talk a little bit about what those are, how they work. Imagine, you know, what's the tech behind that a little bit?
Jason, this is Jeff. I can talk a little bit about that in terms of recruiting. We've got several areas where we're working to take advantage of some big data techniques. We're somewhat in our infancy, but for example, we have a test going on in the New England region where we're bringing together civilian recruiters, military recruiters, both active and reserve, those looking for officers and enlisted, on a common contact management system. And we're trying to reach out into areas that we don't normally recruit in. And we're using some big data techniques for that. So I think there's a lot of untapped capability that we're trying to break into there. And I think a lot of the collaboration amongst all the recruiting sources we have, whether it's civilian or military, active guard, reserve in the Air Force, will benefit from some of that. So we are trying to leverage that to reach out there and make sure that we're not missing a segment of talent just because we don't happen to be located there or we have always gone to another place and had success. So we're really trying to expand our view, our ability to reach into the talent pool across the entire United States. And I think big data is one of the things that will help us do that. The analytics, the niche targeting that goes along with those are tools that we're trying to add into our toolbox on how we can reach this very specialized talent. And that it's a challenge to bring in sometimes.
Bill, take me down one step further because I'm interested also in the tech side, because one of the things that this shows is this idea that the CIO's office is working with the manpower office, with the HR office, and this partnership of how important this partnership is.
Actually, in former life as the A1 CIO, worked with Jeff on this, really partnering industry and industry tools with really the HR leadership that was out there between Jeff and AFPC. So certainly the marriage of the tools capability, the infrastructure piece, some of these are available kind of as a service model. With industry, you have various players out there that do very strong data analytics and capabilities that we can either buy or integrate it in with our existing platform. So those teams have been ongoing for the last couple of months working through efforts with industry and bringing those in and seeing what, you know, price points and value propositions for each one of them. But in many cases, especially in the cybersecurity business, there's a lot of tool sets out there that we can leverage to provide very distinct insight into where the talent is. At the bottom line to all this is, in old world order, it was USA Jobs, come to us and look for where you might be interested. We're actually trying to say, here's where our cyber forces are, here's where our cyber capabilities and infrastructure providers and weapon system programs are, and how do we best align that? In using the big data tools, we can tie what we need with what we're seeing on the outside. So I think that's the marriage that really comes to light with this kind of effort.
Jason, if I could add to that too. The partnership that we have between those that are doing the HR work of trying to hire with those in the functional areas like Bill Marion, and then those that are out there at the installation level, that all needs to connect together, and we've had some success with that, I think. And I'll give an example here in a couple of minutes in two areas. But the functional community helps us by identifying the particular skill sets they're looking for. And they have knowledge of things like Bill's already mentioned, the collegiate cyber defense competitions. That gives us a target to send our HR workforce to, our recruiters, who will go to those events. And we've recently been to seven of those. And They made contact with over 500 students in these competitions, and we got 250 of that 500 registered in our system. When we meet with them, we're not only able to tell them what the Air Force opportunities are, we're able to point them to the website that we have for the Air Force Civilian Service. We're able to walk them through some USA Jobs understanding, help them get through that. But we're also at those type of events, and they're not all these collegiate cyber defense competitions. There are others that Bill may be able to mention. But we're able to talk to the professors and coaches and provide that same information to them. And they're like the influencers that we talk about on the military recruiting side. So those are great opportunities for us. And if we can build off of those to know where we have vacancies that are coming up in the field. So the units in the field have their civilian hiring plans, and they know what their mission needs are changing. So if we can able to link all of those, it helps us make faster decisions when we go to these events so that we can meet the needs of the Air Force to get people on quicker. And most of these folks are looking for jobs sooner rather than later. So it helps bringing all those pieces of information together from the base level, who has the vacancy, the functional community that knows the skills that they need, and our recruiters. We've had good success at both the acquisition events as well as the cyber events that we've just started to have.
And that's a great point. I would say the really compelling thing in this market is, you know, the government's always challenged with being able to pay and incentivize at the pure paycheck level with industry. But there's a lot of benefits for Air Force civilians on the non-tangible, right? So whether it's the health, vacation, whatever the case. But what I would really say sells it is when we have the mission flavor and the mission focus that we can deliver. So how do they support, you know, flying operations? How do you support cyber operations and defeat of ISIS? I mean, those direct being able to tie cyber and cybersecurity in those general terms into the intelligence world, into the cyber world, is very critical when you go out and recruiting, because that is ultimately, and honestly, how I came to the Air Force was that, an IT professional in the intelligence and surveillance and reconnaissance world. So it's the mission that's ultimately going to get them recruited. And so tying that mission focus with the HR community, tightening up the hiring process, along with providing the mission kind of inject of what are some of the key opportunities, I think is a real selling point. Because that's really what's going to bring them in, typically, into the Air Force. It's not necessarily going to be the paycheck per se in a dollars and cents. It's all the other value and service that they can provide to their United States.
And I can only imagine that many times, as Jeff, your folks are going out there to talk to these potential recruits, they don't really understand what the Air Force does. They think Air Force flying, right? They think Air Force, well, I can't be a pilot, or I don't want to be a pilot, or whatever it is, or I don't want to join, you know, and serve that way. Maybe there's another way they can serve. So I think a lot of this is all about education.
Yes, it is. There's education that goes on. They're able to describe the Air Force story. And in some cases, as Bill mentioned, we have people from the installations there that can kind of talk the types of projects that they would be involved with. The ability to make a difference, the ability to learn and be trained, I think is significant for what the Air Force has to offer. And being able to meet with these folks and explain it, as opposed to have them read something on a web page or whatever, there's great information out there. But the face-to-face interaction, I think, is what we're seeing that tends to help things out, that connection across the various entities of the base level and the functional community, as well as the hiring officials. We're able to speed up that process and provide a fairly compelling argument to becoming an Air Force civilian.
We have to take a break. My guests today are Bill Marion, the Deputy CIO of the Air Force, and Jeff Mayo, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Force Management Integration. I'm Jason Miller.
The focus between HR and IT should be on the employee experience. Agencies must collaborate across departments to align employees with their mission, develop leaders, close skill gaps, and have access to workforce data. As a leader in cloud-based learning and human capital management software, Cornerstone enables government agencies to make more informed, impactful decisions about their workforce so they can focus on their biggest asset, people. Visit cornerstoneondemand.com to learn more about how you can align HR and IT to drive mission success.
Welcome back. My guests are Bill Marion, the Deputy CIO of the Air Force, and Jeff Mayo, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Force Management Integration. I'm your host, Jason Miller. we've been talking a lot about this idea of cyber workforce, but there's other pieces and parts to the story too, if you will. Maybe start with Jeff, other priorities on your list that maybe the CIO's office you guys are working together on outside of, I know this is a big one, cyber workforce, every agency has it, but are there other systems or other capabilities you're looking at that you're working closely with the CIO's office on?
I think the biggest one right now, we talked a little bit about big data, but the acting secretary is really pushing out with the big data. You know, how do we look at data as a strategic asset? That has a huge impact in the readiness world of how do we take logistics data and personnel data and operations data and merge that into a consistent picture, which gives us a much deeper, richer understanding of our readiness posture. So the biggest strategic effort that we have going on right now that's not even just the MR and the A1 community, it's also, the operations and logistics side, is how do we get at readiness in general? So not just your flight line weapon system piece, but actually the personnel side of that. That bridges a lot of things for us from the technical perspective, cloud and cloud infrastructure, mobile front ends, big data analytics, large-scale resource planning systems, those kind of things together into one ecosystem. But I would say that's the largest strategic initiative that we have right now, bridging those areas together.
And that was Jeff, or that was Bill?
That was Bill.
Bill, thanks. Jeff, talk a little bit about what you just heard from Bill.
I think the challenge that we hope will be solved out of that is there is a huge amount of data out there, and some of it can help us make the connections that we need to reach the talent in various places. Now we use some services such as LinkedIn Recruiter to help us find individuals. There's probably lots of different ways that we could do that as well. But when we use those services, we're able to hone in our search. The number of recruiters we have is fairly limited, so we need to use some analytical tools, take advantage of much of the data that we have to minimize that search effort, to hone us in on the specific individuals that we're looking for. As an example, we recently had an event and used some of those sources to fill about a dozen positions at Scott Air Force Base in the cyber infotech community that we probably would have taken a lot longer to find. It's matching up the talent that's out there with the opportunities and making sure they both know them. So I think these data tools and some of the initiatives that Bill just mentioned will help us do that more efficiently for our recruiters to be able to, whether it's military or civilian recruiters, is what we've talked about here, certainly in the STEM career fields that we're looking for and some of the other communities out there. But certainly the acquisition community and the cyber community are some of our mission critical vacancies that we set up our programs, like we've described already, to help us find individuals to fill those positions. So those are some of our most important positions.
Bill, let me go back to something you also talked about, which was this idea of cloud, mobile, large-scale resource planning systems, bringing them all together. How's that working, and where are you with maybe some of those efforts? I know it's a big jar I just opened up, so maybe pick one or two of those that you think there's a lot of progress being made around.
I think our biggest progress is in an application called MyPurse, which is our front-end portal, if you will, to all active duty, guard, reserve, and civilians. That application was moved to the cloud, commercial cloud, about a year ago with great success in very short time frame. It provides with it new capabilities to orchestrate policy into the tool, into the system, to provide capability faster to our airmen. It provides a mobile front end. We can start seeing a cleaner, richer mobile experience to when an individual goes in through the portal to look at their retiree records, or they look for a civilian frequently asked questions statement or their civilian career brief types of things. So that MyPurse application, a little over 1.7 million users, pretty big movement. I think one of the first, if not the first, DoD software as a service moved to the cloud, but it brought a huge downplay or decrease in the number of cyber vulnerabilities. It provided a mobile front end. Coop and resiliency came with it. So from a technical layer, it really shored up the foundation of that big application, but then it also allowed the scale of new capability for new features, functions, and the like in mobile front ends for our airmen.
And Jeff, when you hear about MyPurse and how people are using that on the user side versus the technology side, what do you hear about the impact that initiative is having?
I think it's a very significant impact. It provides not only better access for the workforce to reach some of that data, but it also takes some other workload off of the HR community that would have had to answer that call or provide that data to them. One of the things that, that Bill mentioned, in addition to my person, and I think you've asked about it too, is the cloud-based opportunities. The potential for that to really help on the recruiting side is significant. The challenge to reaching that significant help is in recruiting, you're dealing with a significant amount of personally identifiable information. And so the security aspect of that is something that I think we still grapple with somewhat. But it is an area that's really ripe to take advantage of if we can get over some of those security and privacy concerns. And that is a paramount issue. I don't mean to minimize it, but that's something that we have to figure out in order to actually realize some of the helpful aspects of having a cloud that our recruiters could be on and share their leads and the contact information and some of the other data as they're out across the country trying to recruit the right people that we need for the Air Force.
And I think, you know, a lot of times it's interesting because people look at the cloud and say, oh, it can save us so much money, but it's these capabilities, as you guys have both pointed out, that's really the difference maker. And I just had a very interesting conversation with John Hill, who works at the Defense Information Systems Agency, and he was saying, hey, this cost thing, let's get past it and really look at how much better we are. When we look at the future of you guys, you know, the A1 office for, you know, force management and the CIO's office where Bill works, working together, obviously the cloud's a big role, but what are some other priorities? What should we look at from you guys as you guys work together over the next, you know, 6-9 months? What else should we look out for?
I would say it's not just even cloud, it's the software as a service. So as Jeff mentioned, there's a lot of capability out there that we can procure and secure and make sure we can deliver that to the best of our ability. So there's a lot of effort, whether that's the analytics side of it. Some of those cases, we can provide that cloud analytic piece as a service. The big thing, kind of extending my purse out, is all the additional functionality. We are trying to rationalize our applications down. In other words, really consolidate them down into some core centers of gravity. So a lot of our efforts revolve around the MyPurse application, really building out and using all the services that are provided in that hosted environment. But we run the entire spectrum, right, from recruiting to retirement. So in many cases, those HR systems are out there. Our big pay and personnel modernization is another effort that is leveraging cloud services, leveraging best industry practices to bring some agility to that program. So that's the other big one, is our HR enterprise resource planning system and how we're modernizing that using commercial technology.
And from Jeff, your perspective, you know, as you guys are working together on that pay and personnel system, the HR ERP, what are you asking for? What are some of the capabilities that are most important to you?
Well, I think one of the key areas that we look to benefit out of that is related to our usage of our total force. And by total force, I'm talking about our regular Air Force active duty component, our Guard component, the Air National Guard, and the Air Force Reserve. If we can all be together on that system, that really provides a benefit to the way we use our total force. The Air Force is very reliant on the Guard and Reserve, and the ability that we have to have them all in the same system helps us with the bringing them on, taking them off, those types of things will be much simpler if we all have one system as opposed to multiple systems. I think really that's one of the cornerstone pieces that we hope to get out of the AFIP. So there'll be plenty of other efficiencies and improvements in the way we're able to manage our force individually. But I think that's one that I'm very interested in. We provided a lot of requests, I guess, along those lines to make sure that we're able to see the improvements in the way we use our operational reserve forces, if you will, in these days when we rely on the reserve and guard so frequently.
Another piece of all of this is the idea of procurement, of finance, the CXO area. Bill or Jeff, I'll throw it to both of you guys. How are you bringing in those kind of other CXO communities to work on a lot of these goals?
Well, in some cases, those elements are in the CIO's office. So the Chief Information Security Officer from a cybersecurity piece is within our shop. There is effort to stand up a Chief Data Officer to work big data analytics. That's yet to be determined where that will sit, but that's certainly a key player and will come into this mix. Financial, the Chief Financial Officer, certainly is a big piece behind this because ultimately everything we do goes through the programmatics in budgetary type things. So EFM has been a key partner in resourcing a lot of the initiative, especially on the cyber hiring and the acquisition hiring, is making sure we have the underpinning from a financial side of it. So it is absolutely across the board. I guess the last C-suite entity would be the COO, which is typically our director of operations. He is definitely driving, you know, readiness questions, definitely driving recruiting and making sure we have the right airmen, both civilian and military, that come in our force. So everything we do, I think, in this building is very corporate in nature, and we have our own C-suite meetings where we work through strategies. And this is one, again, vetted all the way up through the secretary, that is really supported from a cyber hiring recruiting of how all those entities can work well together in delivering a capability.
Jeff, also from your perspective, we talked about cybersecurity. We talked about the acquisition side in terms of skill sets. Are there other skill sets that you guys are actively recruiting for? I know there's probably thousands, but what are other top priorities that maybe fit in with in terms of how Bill's office can help you guys?
We tend to define things as mission critical, hard to fill, and those could run the gamut across a number of job series. Certainly in the medical community, some of those job series, doctors, nurses, sometimes those are challenging positions to fill. The civilian positions that we deal with, we classify as mission critical, hard to fill. We're glad we have some of the hiring authorities that are out there. And I think one of the things that we'll learn is, as we go through, just as we're building on the cyber effort, we're building off of some of the things we've learned with the acquisition. We're building our toolbox as we go along of how some of these different career fields in the Air Force, and we have, like you said, there's probably literally thousands of different career areas out there that someone can apply to. And we have 180,000 or so civilian positions in the Air Force. We rely on them more and more day in and day out. So more and more of those positions are mission critical, hard to fill. And we just need to find a way to reach that talent out there. And it's a challenging labor market, but we feel like we have a great Air Force civilian service type of product to offer, the benefits that are there, and the opportunities, really, for training, development, and to work on some very fascinating types of projects that they may not get to if they weren't in the Air Force. So, again, I won't highlight too many specific ones, but there's just an awful lot of very mission-critical, focused positions that we're trying to fill, and we'll continue to use programs like we're talking about for the cyber hiring as well as acquisition to reach into those areas.
Jeff and Bill, this has been a fascinating conversation. We're just about out of time. Before I let you go, I did want to ask one other thing about working together, borrowing, begging, stealing from other parts of government, other parts of DOD. The efforts that you guys are doing, how are you working together with maybe the other services or DOD agencies or even other civilian agencies?
Sure. This is Jeff. There's great competition for the kind of talent that we're all looking for. On the civilian side, I think we're more than happy to hear success stories that the other services or maybe some other agencies in federal government are following, and we ask questions, and when it makes sense for us, we'll pattern after that.
All right, gentlemen, this has been a fascinating conversation. We could continue to talk, but unfortunately, we are out of time, so let me thank my guests. Bill Marion is the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the U.S. Air Force, and Jeff Mayo is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Force Management and Integration. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Jason.
The focus between HR and IT should be on the employee experience. Agencies must collaborate across departments to align employees with their mission, develop leaders, close skill gaps, and have access to workforce data. As a leader in cloud-based learning and human capital management software, Cornerstone enables government agencies to make more informed, impactful decisions about their workforce so they can focus on their biggest asset, people. Visit cornerstoneondemand.com to learn more about how you can align HR and IT to drive mission success.
Thank you for listening to Human Capital Management, where IT meets HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand, here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.